But right now we have a Northfield City Councilor with us, Susie Nicassian. Susie, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
You've been busy getting kids off to school this morning. Yeah. We got a few more days of school, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I bet they're probably not too excited about those two extra snow days that they have to make up now on beautiful days in June.
Exactly.
Now, you recently attended, was it a seminar, a conference on rail and freight rail, and what was that you just have done?
Thanks. Yeah, I heard about this. There was an exhibition up in the Capitol that was sponsored by the Class 1 Rail Lines. I've been on a learning mission about freight rail and rail safety.
Mm-hmm.
Rail is such an essential part of our infrastructure as a city and as a state and country. And the seminar was about how they're using technology now to maximize the safety on the lines,
mm-hmm.
and also interface with our first responders. I serve as Northfield's representative to the 911 call center, which is, coordinates mm-hmm. all the safety departments of all of the region of two counties. So it's really essential to know how are we in the ability to respond to rail events should they happen, and,
mm-hmm.
and what goes through our town, and how does it work, and how can we work with companies. So I attended this and was really excited to see the different kinds of technology that the rail lines are investing in to keep our communities safe.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine, I guess, what those would be. The first thing that would come to mind would be, we have the stop arms on some of the crossings here in Northfield. We don't have arms on other ones, and we'll talk about the noise in just a moment or so, but mm-hmm. as far as that safety part of it, mm-hmm. what goes into that? What's the new technology?
And I actually I had somebody video, because I'm not a technology person, but this was it was really fun to I have a video which we could put on your website that mm-hmm. shows a positive train control is a new requirement that's been put on the railroads to introduce an automatic stop in the event that there's a derailment possibility on the line. And I was able to participate in a simulator of positive train. I said, don't video me when I'm crashing into anything. but thankfully, I didn't do that. But it provides an extra added measure, automatic braking system, basically, in the event that in the event of a human failure and not detecting. Those events are super rare, but this provides a second addition. And of course, any event is tragic, so we want to make sure that doesn't happen. So positive train control is one of these devices, and that works directly on the line itself. But provides a kind of a internal monitoring system, if you will, of how many trains are on the line and are they headed for one another.
Wow. If you think of let's take a freight train, some of the ones that go through town here, they have to weigh thousands of tons.
Oh, my God.
Especially laden with, ore that we have from up north. Stopping those is no small trick.
That's one of the things that really concerns me. We do have unprotected crossings in Northfield, and of course many crossings that have been on the city council's radar, and my fact finding is part of thinking about how can we address that most mm-hmm. efficiently. It's very expensive to make those crossings safer. One of the things I was impressed by at this conference, and perhaps you've seen it, is there's a new public service announcement out that shows how long it takes to stop a freight train.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important that people take seriously how dangerous crossings are. We often think, well, I can dart across that quickly, and you really can't. And if you don't, there is no way for that conductor to stop a train. And perhaps we could post that PSA online, too, to show we really need to respect the crossings and trains don't stop as easily as cars can. God.
Let's talk about those crossings.
Mm-hmm.
How many crossings do we have here in Northfield that would need to be the cross arms put down that don't have currently the cross arms?
There's only one totally unprotected mm-hmm. crossing. And one of the things I hope I might do through this research that I'm doing with the class ones is to look together at is it possible that we might close one of our crossings
mm-hmm.
and not encumber too many people? Those unprotected crossings are really archaic, and we should be very intentional. And so there's one totally unprotected one. We're looking at something called quiet zones, which is a source of funds made available by the federal government to introduce double-crossing arms on both sides of lines. But of course, Susie's idea for the most efficient way, the most cost-effective way for our city to introduce heightened safety measures, if we introduce passenger service on the line, that automatically brings stepped up safety on our. If we don't do that and we just take the cost on ourselves as a city, it's about $800,000 per crossing, which is, you know, that's a huge
cost. How many crossings would we need?
I think that's something that gets. How many do we need? Did you say?
Yeah, to make it a quiet zone. How many?
They're five total, right?
Five total. Okay.
And.
So you're looking at right now $4 million to do that, roughly.
And it's and that would not be possible for a city, right? Mm-hmm. But we're looking at options for how we can best accomplish this. I'm talking to the city of Rosemount to accomplish it with their city. Similarly, they're on our line heading into St. Paul, and a number of had a number of different crossings in a row like we do. I'm especially concerned about the residential areas that are located near the lines. Some people say, oh, it's so romantic to hear the train whistle blow.
No, there's nothing romantic about it.
Not slightly. When you're living next door to it.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Now, the going forward, okay, let's say, let's use that number just for this interview, $4 million. Mm-hmm. If you look at that, you know, we're spending, you know, several million dollars on infrastructure projects this year. If you could combine that, is there any federal funding available, state funding available to offset some of that cost? And could bonding be used to pay for that?
Yes, there's state bonding money available in the next bonding cycle. But I think it's my approach to this for the city is for us to look at the whole region of that commercial downtown with all forms of transit strategies together, because they're really interrelated, and then to look at, to decide what to develop a basically a strategic thinking about the whole area, about how to maximize. We also have essential truck traffic through Northfield and commercial producers that rely on the speed of those trucks. Every time we stop them at a stoplight, it costs them money. Similar trains, we want to help them get through town swiftly and safely. I look at freight rail is the cardiovascular system of our national economy. I have no interest in slowing them down. And our ability to close crossings or to make them safer can enhance the ability of our commercial freight to flow a little faster. How we pay for that, the city would, going back a step, I think a strategic planning about what needs to be done first, and then participating in larger projects with the federal government and with the state to fund those large projects, which become attractive to the state and the country when they're part of reaching national goals, which is to keep our freight running smoothly and safely.
That sounds like there's no hope.
Oh, does it? Oh, no, I don't think so.
Once you get all these government factors involved, it's like, oh, you know, that's going to be decades down the road.
No,
and we've
no.
been going decades with this right now. But
actually, can I just go back to that?
Yeah, yes, certainly.
So I think under the Obama administration, there was the FAST Act introduced larger pots of money available for this very thing to facilitate infrastructure enhancements like rail crossings, which are both a safety concern, but they also help our freight, right?
Okay.
Help companies produce and get things to market. Northfield's been getting commerce to market since 1863, right? So that I'm interested also in how could we better use our freight lines to attract or accommodate our local producers. Maltomeal Pulse Cereal currently is the only active user of the line in terms of their goods, although they bring things in and out. Mostly they do it by truck. How might we do that by rail? Would it assist us? There are a lot of jurisdictions involved, but that's just the nature of politics. And that might sound confusing, but it's a great thing that so many different levels of government now are focused on this, and that there is money available for quiet crossings and for infrastructure enhancement.
You mentioned passenger rail, and I know that has been a passion of yours for quite some time.
Yep.
Any idea what the future is with that? You know, I think of that as a couple of in a couple of different ways. As one, you know, is passenger rail, is that Amtrak? Do they still do that? Or is the government in the business? Is it private? If it's private, it must be market driven, so there'd have to be a market here. Where's that sit right now in the 21st century?
So do you have 2 or 3 hours to talk about this? Which I will gladly do. Which I will gladly do. It is absolutely a passion of mine.
Okay.
And the reason I'm studying, you know, if you think about it, our freight rail infrastructure to Northfield, it's when you think about our local companies, having a two freight rail lines, it's like having another company running horizontally through your town. This is a major national, these are major national corporations that own the lines, and it serves us to know them and to advocate for them and to work to make it work, because that's our cardiovascular system in play. So just to start the passenger rail conversation is to start with the rail lines themselves, which are privately owned, and to get to know how we can partner with our the class ones to help them make their keep business rolling, if you will. More specifically, passenger rail would absolutely, most of the passenger rail in the United States runs on freight rail lines.
Okay.
And you're right that Northfield very aggressively and very enthusiastically backed a grassroots coalition that I organized that moved our rail line, the UP rail line, into the state rail plan for passenger rail planning. So we are now in line for consideration as a passenger rail line. And that would be restoring passenger rail, right? Because we had, I don't know if the audience knows, many of the older residents of Northfield will remember, until 1969, we had daily a number of trains to on the American Spine Line, it was called, which served St. Paul to Dallas, Texas on continuous rail line, which still exists, and we're sitting on it. That's an interstate line, and our effort was successful in moving the Minnesota portion of that line into the rail plan and making it eligible for study.
Is there any of that line being used as passenger rail now?
None of it? Okay. Minnesota hasn't been to this point, well, in recent history, a very passenger rail-oriented place. You know, in 1863 or 4, Northfielders could take a train to Cannon Falls, that we could take trains to St. Paul and ship our commodities on those trains, too, back and forth. But in recent decades, we've been automobile-oriented. So there is no current... This is what the discussion that I'm hoping to change, and it is changing. It is changing because the millennials are very interested in transit. Transit is economically efficient if it's run correctly, and it's better for the environment if you're using existing rail infrastructure, which, by the way, we are. It's the most conservative thing we can do to utilize what we already have in the interest of the public good. We have this infrastructure. It's not high volume. So we have a great potential for at least a conversation about adding rail.
Okay, so as far as passenger rail, that's on... It's being talked about now, which is moved a step forward to not being talked about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Not only talked about, but it's eligible for study. And as I said, the line is... But back to the commercial rail, in order for us to be able to introduce passenger, we do have significant ridership because it's both a what you might call a commuter rail line, I mean, in terms of serving the 58% of Rice County that commutes to Hennepin and Ramsey County for work. But it doubles as an interstate line because, as we've said, the line continues to Des Moines, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, and Dallas, Texas, and further, and intersects other national Amtrak lines along the way. So it's a really significant, I call it the spine line. It used to, the freight rail industry calls it the American spine line, and I think it's helpful to talk about it that way because it truly is the spine of the country.
Boy, we could be talking about this for
I'd love it. But back to freight, it is impressive to see what the class ones are doing to keep us safe, and they've even introducing drones to monitor the over the track itself. They don't depart from the track, but I got to fly a drone, which was wild, to monitor tracks and to check how things are going, which is really far more than the Highway Administration is doing.
Right. Well, Susie, I want to thank you for coming in and talking about that. We certainly appreciate that.
It's
fascinating, and we could talk for a long time. Unfortunately, we're bound by the clock here on radio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yep.
That's Susie Nicasia, Northfield City Councilor.